A burglar got into a house one night. Shining his flashlight on the floor in the dark, he heard a voice saying, "Jesus is watching you." He looked around nervously, shook his head, and kept looking for valuables. He again heard, "Jesus is watching you." This time he shone his light all over and it rested on a parrot. He asked, "Did you say that?" The parrot admitted that it had. "I'm just trying to warn you, that's all." The burglar said, "Warn me? You? Who are you? What's your name?" "Moses." "Well, what kind of stupid people would name a parrot Moses?" The bird answered, "I don't know. I guess the same folks who would name a Rottweiler Jesus." Looks like this burglar's timing was off. He'd chosen the wrong place and time. If he didn't hightail it out of that house right then and there, he'll really wish he had. And then he'd be thinking, whatever made him choose this particular night? If only he had waited another night, chose a different house, things would have ended up just fine. His timing was all off. But from another angle, his timing was perfect. For regardless of the all too many liberal politicians who've literally lost their minds because they don't fear God, who let criminals go free often with not even slaps on the wrist, we, people who know the truth, know a life of crime is not in the least desirable. It'll end up with a person going to hell permanently forever. And that's not a good outcome at all. So from the perspective of the beautiful, perfect Father God who loves us all more than we can imagine, this particular night was just perfect for this would-be burglar to be scared almost to death, to the point he'll take stock of his life, and at the urgings of both Moses and Jesus, he'll put his life into the hands of God Almighty. Well, if that was just a joke, we can imagine that kind of happy ending for that criminal. But our current day is not really all that different. What with this demonically initiated pandemic and the resultant economic repercussions, supply chain disruptions, and consequential shortages, the time lost to illness and hospitalizations, and the increased numbers of deaths of younger people who've, because of fear of contagion, put off regular medical care and procedures, there is so much going on that has put many people in a mindset to take stock of their lives. As is always the case, what the devil means for evil, God in his perfection turns right around into good and blessing for his people. It never fails. Sometimes it may seem to take a long time coming, but it will come, and at just the right and perfect time. Our scripture lessons this morning all attest to it. Indeed, the entirety of the Bible confirms it. God is perfect, and he knows everything from beginning to end and from end to beginning. We don't, and because we don't, we can't possibly know the best and right time for anything to occur, though in our pride, conceit, and arrogance, we pretend we do, and all too often complain wildly when God doesn't do things when and how we want. Worse, all too many younger people these days, particularly those attending and recently graduated from our institutions of higher education, have no knowledge or understanding of who they are because they haven't been taught real history. They think that what happened long ago has no relevance to their lives today. But at the same time, when they learn that a historical figure committed some now trending unforgivable sin like having slaves or being Christian like Dr. Martin Luther King, those personages must be cleaned up or else erased from history. What idiocy! No wonder these young people are like crashing bulls in society's china shop, because they have no idea who they are, nor, most importantly, whose they are. If you haven't been paying attention, things are happening around us, and in some cases to us, at an ever-accelerating pace. Could you have imagined just 5 years ago all the things that have been happening to us in these last 2 years? What about the last 2 months? We're veering from one crisis to another almost weekly now. The crises are popping up all over the world. Why, one can hardly keep up with what's going on. But for those of us who abide in Christ, who live our lives in Him, we're like cocooned in the eye of this world's continuous hurricane. Safe, secure, and peaceful, while we watch the destructive, angry, demonic winds furiously buffeting and beating on everything and everyone around. Some people are practically paralyzed by the evil spirit of fear. What about that mother who, once her son had been diagnosed with having the coronavirus, put him in the trunk of her car in an effort to protect herself from getting it from him? So fearful are liberal people that a recent poll revealed that a large majority of them think that unvaxxed people should be surveilled, even locked up in homes or concentration camps, all for the good of society. Whatever became of our love of freedom? Why is it that many of the historic democracies have now become so tyrannical and despotic? Australia, Austria, Germany, and others have instituted draconian lockdowns. France, Italy, Britain, and others are requiring vaccine passports that would forbid those without them from working, leaving their homes, even to buy food. But the people are rising up against these oppressive measures. Thousands and thousands are marching in the streets of their major cities. Police are starting to fire on their own citizens. How is this different from communist dictatorships? Tiananmen Square, anyone? In the United States, we've lost our uniting knowledge and love of freedom. But not permanently. It will return in God's perfect timing. Look at the reading from Isaiah, that prophecy about Jerusalem in chapter 62, verse 2. World leaders will be blinded by your glory, has obviously not yet happened. Verse 4's assertion, your new name will be the Bride of God. We know will be fulfilled at the great marriage feast of the Lamb of God, when Jerusalem and the church merge into one glorious bride of Christ and God. That time has not yet come, but it is coming, for we truly are in the end of days. Things are happening faster and faster, and that's a good thing. While it may get harder and harder to keep up with all the changes, just keep hold of Christ, our Savior and Lord. Keep our noses in our Bibles, our eyes on His truth, and our ears hearing the voice of Holy Spirit. Never decide how to think and act by what the world is telling us, even if it's the government telling us what to do and when. If nothing else has become evident these last 2 years, it's that almost nothing that erupts from the nation's capital and is spouted through the mainstream media is true. We're living in an ocean of propaganda. So whatever you hear, clear it with God before you act. Pray and ask Holy Spirit about it repeatedly. Pray until you get an answer. God won't answer you unless He knows you're serious about asking Him and then following His direction. We can't live any longer by just thinking, well, this seems like the right thing to do. I think I'll believe this expert or that agency. Only God knows, and only He knows the right and perfect time to do anything. Now, it was no different for Christ Jesus at this wedding in Cana of Galilee. Lord Jesus was now 30 years old, and for he, Mary, and his 12 disciples to have been personally invited indicates that either the bride or the groom were more than just friends, but somehow related to Mary and her family, Lord Jesus obviously included. And the relation was close enough that even Lord Jesus' disciples were included in the invitation. Some suggest that it could well have been one of Lord Jesus' half-brothers or half-sisters getting married. Others think that it may have been the disciples John himself, as it is thought that he was a cousin of Lord Jesus, much like John the Baptist was the Lord's cousin. Whatever the relationship, it was fortuitous indeed that they were there. For the absolute worst embarrassment for any wedding party was for the wine to run out. And that's exactly what happened. Poor planning, or more likely, not enough money, created this looming disaster. But Mary, already knowing that her firstborn son was special, asked him to head off this catastrophe at the pass. He first told her that his time had not yet come, meaning that it wasn't time for his ministry to unveil its supernatural power and divine authority. But at the next moment, it's started. What a marvelous launch. Plain water, used by guests for purifying themselves as they arrived, became wine. What about this wine here? It's Christ Jesus' own blood. And what does his blood do? Every Sunday we say it brings the forgiveness of sin. It washes us clean of sin permanently. It's the greatest stain remover of all time. Nothing can resist it. Once it's applied, the stains of confessed and repented sins and iniquities wash away as if they'd never been. And thus, foreshadowing all his earthly ministry to come, Lord Jesus turns that water into wine, the best wine that the Master of Ceremonies had ever tasted. As always, perfect and at the perfect time. That's our Lord. That's your Lord. So follow him, and you'll be fine, no matter what happens. Let us pray. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for being God, for being perfect, for coming at just the right time, for doing all the perfect things, not making one mistake, least of all, not even slipping up for one sin. You stayed perfect the whole time, and you're still perfect. And you impart that same perfectness to us once we put our hand into yours and walk with you, never letting go. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you. Amen.